The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. We begin in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, when they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. He picked two disciples to perform a very important mission and one that really took faith. Here it is, verse 2. And said to them, go your way into the village opposite you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Now, back in the days of the Old West, that would be called horse thieving. And I'm not calling Jesus a thief. He had this worked out ahead of time. Either that or it doesn't matter, because as God, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. But just for the sake of these two disciples who are sent by Jesus, it took faith to obey this. Because normally, you could get in trouble for just walking up to someone else's colt and untying it and taking it with you. 3, Jesus says, and if any man say to you, why do you do this? So, obviously it was owned by someone. Say you that the Lord has need of him, and immediately he will send him here. And that's the faith part. They had to have faith in the word of Jesus that everything would be all right if they would obey. And that's really what faith is. Faith is believing the word of God and believing that everything is going to be all right in the end if you obey God. 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. So they obeyed. Verse 5, and certain of them that stood there said to him, what do you? Loosing the colt. It's happening, Jesus, just as Jesus suggested it might. But they're prepared because they heard the word of God before they got into this situation. The best way to be prepared for anything that may come your way is to take in the word of God. 6, and they said to them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. So they stuck to the word of God. They spoke only the word of God. They didn't add to it. They didn't feel like they had to embellish it in any way or strengthen it in any way or add their own arguments to what God had said. They just stuck to the word of God and everything worked out. 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, that is the donkey, and he sat upon him. In verse 8, and they spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and scattered them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. This is our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. This is the day that he is fulfilling Scripture, which foretold of the Messiah's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He is officially and publicly declaring himself to be the Messiah of Israel. And the crowd is just going crazy. 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So, the people know what's going on here. The people know that Jesus is presenting himself as the long-awaited Messiah, and they are agreeing, and they're shouting praises. 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. He went into the temple, which is the house of God, which is his house. And he saw what was going on. He took stock of it. In verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. This fig tree actually represents Israel, and the lack of fruit represents what Jesus has been seeing for the last 3.5 years. No fruit. A lot of religion, but no holiness unto the Lord. No commitment to God and to the Word of God. And if you don't have a commitment to the Word of God, you can't possibly have a commitment to God. Verse 14, and Jesus answered and said to the tree, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He pronounced judgment on that tree because he wanted fruit and it had none. And it was a picture of the fact that he came to earth. He presented himself to the Jews in Jerusalem as the Messiah by teaching and by doing multiple miracles over the last 3+ years. And yet there was no fruit. And judgment is going to be pronounced upon them as well. That's what this tree and his pronounced judgment upon it represents. 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not permit that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. They had turned the holy temple into a midway at the fair with all sorts of hucksters making a profit off of the sale of animal sacrifices, taking advantage of the people by raising the prices. It was extortion. And Jesus is very upset because they are doing this sort of thing in his house. 17, and he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. You got people with their booths, and they are ripping the people off. They're charging extreme prices for animal sacrifices because they know they can get away with it. And they're doing it all in the name of God. 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Jesus had the guts to stand up and proclaim right and wrong, and he didn't care who didn't like it. And religious leaders probably are embarrassed because they allowed this garbage to go on in God's house unchecked. As religious leaders, they should have put a stop to it. They probably got a cut of the action. 19. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. So he spent the day in Jerusalem. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, he saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That thing dried up and withered overnight. Now that doesn't normally happen. Never happens in the natural realm. 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Normally when a tree dies, you know, it dies gradually, one branch at a time. This one, the whole thing was gone because Jesus pronounced curses on it. He cursed it. He destroyed it with his word. And the Bible says that when he comes back, he's going to destroy his enemies with his word. Verse 22, Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. That's a very simple statement, but it's very profound. Have faith in God. Have faith in the Word of God. That simple statement, that simple command, if followed, will transform your life. Verse 23, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Faith to move mountains. If you have faith in God and you believe that he is able to do something, and you pray with faith, that's the kind of prayer that's effective prayer. That's the kind of prayer that gets result. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. 24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Pray believing, and God says you will have it. I like to thank God in advance. If I can pray something that lines up with the Word of God, then I can pray believing that I will receive it because it lines up with the Word of God, and I know God doesn't lie. So that's the key. Line your prayers up with the Word of God, and then you can have faith that God will answer. 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Yeah, when you pray, make sure you don't have any bitterness in your heart. Make sure there's no unforgiveness toward anyone when you pray. Because if there's bitterness, God's not going to hear your prayer. You may be asking for something that's according to his word, but it's not going to get through to him because you've got sin in your life. The sin of unforgiveness, the sin of bitterness. And notice what Jesus says in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's how important forgiveness is. If you don't forgive someone who has sinned against you, then how can you expect God to forgive you? Because by not forgiving others and expecting God to forgive you, you are suggesting by your actions that you're more important than God. He can forgive people who offend him, but I'm sure not going to do that. That's a terrible thing to think. And you're not going to get away with it. 27. And they come again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And whenever they came to Jesus, you know there's trouble brewing. They're going to try to get Jesus in trouble with the people. You can mark it. 28, and say to him, by what authority do you these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? That these things refer to his teaching in general, his miracles in general, and more specifically, at this point, what he did in the temple. He walked into the house of God and he cleaned house. He took a whip and he turned over the tables of the money changers. He drove out those who were selling animal sacrifices, and he rebuked them all, and he did it with authority, and they want to know who gave you that authority. You're not sanctioned by our denomination, Jesus, so what right have you to do that? You're not one of us. And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. You answer my question, and I'll answer your question. And this is a test to see if they're open to truth. Because if they're not open to truth, then there's no point in him even answering their question. Here he goes. 30. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Very simple, straightforward question. Where did John the Baptist get his authority? From God? Or did he just invent himself as a preacher? What do you say? And this is all being done in public. 31, and they reasoned with themselves. That's the first problem. You know, if you love truth, you're not going to reason with yourself when you are asked a question. You're going to answer it according to the truth of God's word. But they're not that way. They want to be politically correct. They want to walk on eggshells to say that which would make them the most popular. And so they have to reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? Yeah, they think over Jesus' question. They say, you know, if we say John the Baptist was from heaven, which is what most of the people thought, well, then the follow-up question to them is going to be, why did you reject him? Why did you shun John just like you're shunning Jesus? If it's from God, if it was from God. And then they continue in their reasoning in verse 32. But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. So now they're wavering. They don't know what to say. If we say he's from God, then we're going to get in trouble. If we say he's not from God, then we're going to get in trouble. You know, it's so much easier to have a love for truth and play and just speak the plain, simple truth and not worry about what happens as a result. Jesus didn't reason within himself whenever he was asked a question. He answered it. That's the way we need to be. We need to answer questions according to the Word of God. The statements that we make need to be in line with the Word of God. And don't worry about the results. Leave the results to God. Those who have a heart for God will listen and accept. Those who don't may become upset, may get angry, may walk away. Just let it be. That's just the way it is. The Word of God divides truth from error and God's people from those who want nothing to do with God. It's the Word of God that divides, but it has to be spoken clearly and without apology. That's how Jesus did it. The religious rulers were too interested in their own popularity to ever do something like that. So here's their answer. They answered and said to Jesus, "We can't tell. We don't know." You don't know? You're the religious leaders? And there's a man in the wilderness that had all of Judea coming to him to listen to him preach and to be baptized by him? And you religious leaders can't answer the question whether he was from God or not, whether his ministry was from God or not? They just disqualified themselves as religious leaders without even knowing it. See, they were in a no-win situation. The best thing that they could have done was said, he was from God, and we were wrong not to follow him. But their pride kept them from saying anything like that. But anyway, they said, we don't know, plain stupid. Jesus responded, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Why should Jesus open up his mouth and answer their question as to where he gets his authority if they don't have enough interest in truth to take a stand for it? If they don't love truth and then declare that John the Baptist was from God, then why should Jesus answer their question? Because they're not interested in truth anyway. At that point, Jesus would be casting his pearls before swine. Some people don't deserve truth. They really don't, because they don't want it. They've turned their back on it again and again and again. They're not interested in it. They hear it. They don't accept it. Even if they know it's true, they don't accept it. They don't deserve to hear truth anymore. There's too many people out there in the world who have never heard the truth, who need to hear it. Worry about them, not those who have constantly rejected it. So Jesus won't answer, and he shouldn't, obviously.